I don't recommend it anyway, so
You don't recommend it.
no, I don't. It's a good experience, but like if I have to do it again, I mean, I'll be thinking long and hard about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just the luxury of electricity and flushing toilets and stuff is, you know.
Yeah.
You get a bit of dirt in your world. You just got to make peace with the dirt, really. It's all part of the living situation.
You're listening to Think Sustainability. I'm Jake Morecambe. So this is Naomi.
So, hi Jake, my name's Naomi Indigo. I am a PhD candidate with the University of Technology, Sydney.
And Naomi has spent the last 2 years living in a tent.
It's been good though. I'm not complaining, but yeah, you get a bit of dirt in your world.
And although she says she'd have to have a big think about whether she'd do it all over again, what she's doing, she feels pretty strongly about. Naomi is working with cane toads.
And at the moment, I'm doing a research project looking at if we can use conditioned taste aversion to mitigate cane toad impacts on northern quolls.
Break that down for me. Conditioned taste aversion, what does that mean?
So conditioned taste aversion, CTA, is the process where an animal ingests a food item, becomes ill, and subsequently will avoid that food item as a result of the illness or the unpleasant experience.
Why would anything want to eat a cane toad?
Well, in Australia, it's a problem because cane toads resemble an existing prey type for a lot of our native predators. So goannas and snakes and our marsupial predators like quolls will eat frogs. They look at them and think, this is a frog, I can eat this just like I've eaten any other old frog.
What happens to them? Like, do they die?
It's often very fatal. They can die just from attacking or mouthing a cane toad.
Mouthing, what does that mean?
Just maybe if they were to grab their prey, grab a cane toad in their mouth, they don't even really need to bite into it. The cane toads can excrete this poison. They have large glands on their shoulders. And also, it's all over their skin too. The pores in their skin secrete this bufotoxin.
And you're talking about novel solutions. If there were ever a more novel solution, it's make a sausage out of them.
It is. It is a very novel solution, but it makes sense. I guess if you unpack it, we can easily put these sausages out in the landscape. Quolls are quite attracted to them, and then they don't eat cane toads afterwards.
And so run me through what the actual process is. Like, you run out to where these cane toads are and you collect them, right?
Yeah, so we collect the cane toads and we skin their back legs once they're euthanized, obviously. We use their back legs to make a mince, and then we include the nausea-inducing chemical, which makes the quolls feel sick. So this is a replacement for the bufotoxin. We don't want to feed quolls bufotoxin. We don't know what the lethal dose of bufotoxin is. So this other chemical is a replacement. And basically, we make a mince mix and we stuff it into a sausage skin just the same way as you would make a sausage intended for human consumption.
And you're doing this?
I am doing this. Every few months, I do make a big batch to put out into my study sites and out into the landscape.
How long do they last?
Well, at the moment, unfortunately, they might only last for about 3 days max. If you can imagine a Kimberley wet season day where you might have temperatures of 45 degrees in baking sun, 3 days is the longest we can get them to last for. And for CTA, or for conditioned taste aversion, to actually work, the sausages need to be as much like a cane toad as possible. So we're still searching for a chemical or a preservative that will help make our sausages last for longer, while not compromising the smell or the taste of the sausage.
Why use the cane toad's legs?
The legs are the least toxic part of the cane toad, especially once they're skinned. There's no glands in the legs that is full of bufotoxins. So, and it's also the most accessible, I guess. It's got the most amount of meat on it too. And it speeds the process up of making the sausages. You just clip the legs off and make the mince.
What do you do with the rest of the toad?
The rest of the toad is incinerated. we don't leave them out in the landscape or even, you know, in rubbish pits or anything. So we're yet to find ways that we could use the entire cane toad, but because they are so poisonous, it's a little bit risky.
And toads jump, right? How do you manage to catch them?
They do jump, but they are quite slow, and they often don't flee the same way that you might see other frogs or even other amphibians escaping when you approach them. Often you just need to walk up to them and pick them up. You have to make sure that you have gloves on because the bufotoxin is also, you know, highly toxic to humans too.
So you're making the sausage, you're getting the legs, and that's what's turning into the sausage mince. And you said that there's some sort of like nausea mimicking chemical that you put in. What is this chemical?
It's called thiobendazole. It's been used for a long time. It's relatively safe. The toxic dose is quite high and the effects are quite localized in the digestive system. So it was an ideal chemical. Also, we can acquire it quite easily and it's cheap too. So it's cost effective for this project.
How do you also kind of monitor or keep tabs on the fact that a quoll might eat this sausage and then they'll feel sick because of this chemical that's been put into it and then know that they won't go out and eat a cane toad again? How do you follow that?
So myself and a few other researchers have been asking ourselves this question for a long time. There's been various studies that have taken place. So we've trained quolls in captivity and released them into the wild and measured their survival, followed them until they're happy with, you know, the outcome. Also, we've trialed this in captivity and offered quolls dead toads, adult toads, and measured their predatory responses through filming. It's quite a strong indication that animals that have ingested a cane toad sausage will avoid attacking cane toads and spend significantly less time even being interested in dead cane toads as well.
So you were saying as well that the baits at this point only last to maybe about tops of 3 days. What happens after then? Do they just kind of like disintegrate?
They don't. They would eventually biodegrade, just like any sort of meat product would in the environment. When we were first trialing the sausages, we did remove all the baits every evening just because we wanted to make sure that no non-target species were eating them. We wanted to know exactly what the fate of our bait was going to be.
Right. Yeah, I was actually going to ask that. If you put out these baits, have you seen other animals eat them?
We have, but significantly less. Quolls are very interested in these baits. We did do some field trials and we saw that, for example, 61% of the quolls that approached our sausages actually consumed them when they first encountered them. And about 68% of these developed an aversion. So they came back and sniffed sausages again but didn't actually eat them. So, yeah, other non-targets that were interested include rock rats.
What's a rock rat?
A rock rat is a native rat. They live in rocky gorges in the central Kimberley at our study sites. Yeah, essentially a rat that lives in rocks. We also had goannas that we get out there who showed interest in baits, although didn't consume.
Before having heard about this research, to be honest, I don't think I even really knew what a quoll was.
Yeah, so I guess they're quite an iconic marsupial predator. And yeah, I often find when I do say I'm studying quolls, a lot of people mistake that for a quail, which is a small bird, a ground-dwelling bird. But they are, like I said, really iconic. They're aesthetically pleasing, I guess. They're cute and fluffy, and they're ferocious too. So I think they're quite a quintessential Australian animal, and they're quite integral to our ecosystems as well. Having native predators in our ecosystems is really important.
What's the end goal here? Is it to boost quoll numbers again, or is there another end goal for the research?
Essentially, quolls are federally endangered and have often seen complete disappearance of quolls in areas where cane toads have arrived almost immediately. So this research is sort of to try and mitigate the impact. So we're not boosting quoll numbers. We're literally just trying to stabilize the population or give it a helping hand, basically, as a new threat emerges in their landscape. So cane toads being the threat.
If you're talking about looking at keeping an ecological balance, shouldn't you also be looking at how to get rid of cane toads?
So there is a lot of research going on. I know the University of Sydney, the Shine Lab, has been working really hard on ways to actually eradicate cane toads.
What does it seem like to you being out on the field, not only just seeing numbers of quolls, but I guess numbers of cane toads? Is it the plague that has been described in the past?
So it starts off, you might find one or two cane toads in an area, and then you also start to see goannas dead, or crocodiles dead in the landscape. So that front line of cane toads comes through, these really large individuals. Yeah, it's very sad to see. And then, you know, the cane toads will stay for a while. They'll establish their population and begin to breed. And that's when you start to see really large numbers of them, particularly in the wet season when it's raining and humid. You hear them calling at night looking for mates. It's quite sad.
How do you feel about cane toads now?
Well, I find them quite fascinating. They are essentially the Australian enemy. Nobody likes a cane toad. In some ways, I feel a bit sorry for them. I feel bad saying that. I think I'm going to cop a lot for saying that. But they're essentially very successful animals, being that they've been able to adapt to a new landscape so well and have such a large impact. But, yeah, personally, I don't despise cane toads. I don't like what they've done to the landscape. But, yeah, it's just they're an animal too.
Love and hate relationship.
It's a love and hate relationship, yeah. Definitely. I would definitely say so. I don't give them cuddles and I don't find them attractive in any way, but they're interesting.
Naomi Indigo, PhD student from the University of Technology, Sydney.